Hey there, my name is Kaylee, and I'm extending a warm invitation for you guys to come into Kaylee's Corner. I hope you enjoyed the previous episode. If you are unfamiliar with the content that goes on in this space, my friends and I just talk about music and a lot of the cultural implications that surround their artwork and their life, and maybe you'll learn something cool about someone that you previously enjoyed, or this is all new information to you. Either way, I'm glad you're here. On the other mics, I should say plural, I've got my slime balls, to say the least. I've got Gracie Para and James Neeland. Gracie is, I don't think I've ever met someone that is so similar to me, but yet so distinct. I don't know. Maybe it's just our shared affinity for, like, marine life and people that play bass.
Marine life,
Yorkie mustaches, and then Roderick. Real. And then Jimmy over here, I've known for about 5 years, and we have nothing in common except for the fact that he likes 80s music and the indie scene a lot. Just kidding, we are kind of similar. I don't know, people say you're my clone, even though I don't agree.
Really?
People have been like, look what you did, Kaylee.
No, that's fair. That's totally fair.
That's, look what you did.
I think that's fair.
Wait, so why don't you guys briefly, like, introduce yourself to say, like, what you do. What do you do for work?
What do I do for work?
Yeah, what do you do?
I don't work. I'm a student here at Biola. I love it here. I am studying, let's see, what am I studying? I am studying to be an art therapist, and I'm also minoring in environmental science,
yes.
So I have a passion for that as well. Kaylee and I kind of connect on that, like she mentioned before. But yeah, I'm a sophomore. That's pretty much it. I love 90s music and 90s fashion.
Girl, where are you from? Where are you from?
I'm from NorCal. I am from Amador County, which is in the middle of
the foothills. That's not even
the
a
boonies.
Real place. Oh my god. Okay. Yeah, that's pretty boss. Okay, what about you?
I also don't work. I'm also a student. I'm working, hopefully, to become like a professor. I don't know, in like Bible stuff or philosophy. I love Plato.
Philosophia.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Hopefully get my PhD and go to like Edinburgh. And like
Edinburgh.
And this girl is from Las Vegas, Nevada.
This girl.
Aw, this gal's from Las Vegas.
Wait, you guys couldn't see. Just listening.
For
those of you that are listening, he pointed to himself.
I pointed to myself.
And you can't see that because podcasts don't have video.
Oh my god.
That's the difference there.
Can we talk about this really quick?
No. Okay, so today I kind of want to talk about 90s alternative music, maybe some artists or bands that have heavily influenced that time capsule era. And I think Gracie and I are both pretty apt to talk about this, having just seen the Smashing Pumpkins like 3 weeks ago.
Woo-hoo.
It's kind of fresh in my mind. I feel prepared. And then Jimmy is like a Morrissey snob. He likes the Smiths.
And, I love the Smiths.
And like The Cure, even though it's like not 90s, really.
It's like more the late 80s indie scene.
So, yeah, let's get started. If there is one thing you have to know about me, it's just my adoration for all things that were created in the 90s underground. And I don't know what you had in mind, but my brain kind of automatically transfixed itself onto a lot of the figureheads, specifically from England. Give you a brief synopsis of what we're working with. So 90s in England was an exploding mix of like diversified selections of sound, and a lot of things were being cultivated over there. The charts were likely getting dominated by a lot of boy and girl bands like NSYNC or the Spice Girls. And apart from those genres that were in the limelight, there were so many other really cool ones that were just kind of came out of nowhere from the indie scene, like trip-hop or Madchester, Britpop, indie rock, post-rock, and probably my favorite sister genres, dream pop and shoegaze. And that's not to dismiss the other genres that were kind of forging their ways through this time, but I just have such an affection for that period in musical history. And dream pop, I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to just go off for a sec. Dream pop and shoegaze was a style of music that originated in the indie scene in the 80s in England and or the UK plus Ireland during the late 80s. And it was very derivative of post-punk from the late 70s and early 80s from bands like Joy Division. but they began to add a lot of sweet and melodic and ethereal sounds to their music in order for it to be, I guess, more accessible, because I don't know what your experience is with post-punk. It's one of my favorites, but sometimes it sounds a little morose. I don't know.
I love it.
But it's good. It's a good sad. from this kind of batch of sounds, we've got a lot of cool bands that came out, like Cocteau Twins, and they're from Portsmouth, Scotland, I think. But yeah, and from that, shoegaze was molded. This was just because they added a lot more distortion pedals, and it was more aggressive in tone. And we've got cool bands like my personal favorite, Slow Dive. We got Lush. We got My Bloody Valentine, Allison's Halo, Chapter House. And one of the things I'm hoping for your input on is that a lot of these bands were fronted by women, which I think is really cool. And even the modern iterations of dream pop today are fronted by women. Slow Dive had Rachel Goswell, Cocteau Twins had Liz Fraser, Lush had Mickey Brenny, which she dated Matt Sharp from Weezer. She dated the bassist from Weezer,
right?
Which is kind of cool. And then my favorite My Bloody Valentine song, Loomer, is sung by one of the women founding members, Tina Durkin, which is kind of cool. But even now, Beach House is Victoria Legrand, and Broadcast is Trish Keenan. But yeah, there's something to be said in women in this field, as a lot of my personal inspiration comes from this. But what would you say about, like, a lot of these, the women in this category of music?
Yeah, I agree. I think that, I don't know, it's just so powerful. I don't know, I think of all these women and I'm just like, oh my goodness, I'm so intimidated. But at the same time, like, I don't know, I want to be them. And they just are so sure. And it shows, like, in the music, but also the fashion, which I know we're going to talk about. But yeah, I just draw a lot of inspiration from them.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny because I'll go on to, like, Rachel Goswell's Instagram account, and I don't even feel like she thinks she's doing anything crazy. She, like, created, probably tied with Loveless from My Bloody Valentine, but Souvlaki, which came out in 1993, came one of the biggest albums for shoegaze ever. And she's just, like, a normal teen during that time, but now on her Instagram, she's just like, yeah, I'm a mom of one, and I like to play glass, and, like, she's just normal, and, like, likes cheetah print and has split dye hair. And I don't know, there's so much coolness. But this is such a kind of niche thing, because shoegaze and dream pop and that whole scene was so brief, and it kind of happened when Britpop and grunge were slowly on the decline, and they tried to get attention in the 90s. Like, these bands were like, yo, let's make some, like, cool, crazy, distorted stuff, because these other bands, like the Stone Roses, exist. But shoegaze never really got a lot of mainstream success, because bands like Oasis and Blur and The Killers and Radiohead got popular, which I'm not going to dump on Radiohead. I won't do that, because they're one of my favorites ever. But yeah, there's something about these eras. They were very short-lived and really special, and I think there's something really alluring about trying to replicate their style. And for an example of this, and this is so you can open the floor a little bit, something about the 90s alternative scene just in general, not just the UK, but we've got an endless source of inspiration for a lot of women fashion, or even men's fashion, like Hope Sandoval from Mazzy Star, who is, that is how I view your style almost. When I picture you and I'm like, I think she wants to look like Hope Sandoval.
I do.
Rachel Goswell from Slow Dive, yeah. Dolores O'Riordan, I don't want to say her name wrong, from The Cranberries, and Kim Deal from The Breeders, Kim Gordon from Sonic Youth.
What would
you say are some of those staple elements of clothing that you really admire, or that you
like personally,
that
just
you use personally?
Okay, yeah. So I went on a little bit of a internet whirlpool rabbit hole last night, and kind of just found, like, some lists of very iconic 90s trends. But, like, personally, I have a very regular rotation of, like, I don't know what I'm wearing currently. I'm in a turtleneck with a side stripe pattern. I'm in baggy cargo-esque green pants, and I have my docks on. I have a leather jacket. I also, I don't know, have curtain bangs as another example. But yeah, I think turtlenecks is something there. I have too many. I like a nice cardigan. I enjoy a long skirt.
I enjoy long skirts on the beach.
Long skirts on the beach.
Yeah, that's pretty boss.
Yeah.
Yep. I see a lot of those little things, like the mauve lipstick or like the, I don't know, there's something about their looks that are very high contrast. Like you have to, like a lot of them were very pale, but they
had
like
the
lighter lip, or like in the really smudged, make their eyes pop out almost. The ripped tights. A lot of them either had really mangy, longer hair, or they had pixie cuts.
Oh, like, pixie, or like at least a very clean, straight bob, which I think that's why I cut my hair so often in high school. But yeah, oh gosh, there's a lot to unpack with 90s fashion. I mean, there is just endless. I mean, it really just exploded.
Same with even those similarities were kind of common in the men's fashion too. Like Dolores from the Cranberries had the same haircut as Tom York in 1995. Right. There was something I really enjoyed about 90s fashion during that time. It was for both men and women. Like a lot of them wore very similar things, specifically in the indie scene. Like obviously you had like Y2K fashion, but that's not what I'm trying to focus on. I like the indie scene a lot, but yeah, what are your favorite men's staples, Jimmy?
So I don't really like look too much into the 90s. I really like, well, a little earlier 90s, but late 80s. I love like most of the members of the Smiths. Morrissey and Andy Rourke, Johnny Marr. They all have this
Mike Joyce.
Mike Joyce, Andy Rourke. they all have very earth tone colors. It's almost grimy. That represents the music scene that was happening. It's in Manchester. It's a very mundane, grimy town. But there's kind of like this. I don't know how to
depression almost, but like it's welcomed.
Yeah, it's yeah.
Oh, for
it's
sure.
Like a warm melancholy. Depression. Melancholy, yeah.
Jimmy and I went to Scotland over the summer because of this. We were going on a school trip, and just walking around Scotland, it was a very gothic town, and it was very interesting seeing the, I guess, cultural values that they had, because in America, if you were to pop into Walmart and you found a band tee, it would likely be Nirvana or the Guns N' Roses or AC/DC or the Ramones. But when we were in the UK, it was the Smiths, the Cure, the Stone Roses, David Bowie a little bit. Just that they prioritize their indie scene way more, like, because America is very classic rock elitist almost, but they really valued their indie scene in the UK and in Ireland a lot. So that was like a really cool experience. That's like, that was normal to them. Like,
take pride in it. In England, I was like jokingly singing the Smiths, and a bunch of British people were like, oh my gosh, an American is like really taking in this culture, this the Smiths, the Cure, all these people. That
couple people like keep singing,
keep singing this. Yeah, there was this one time when I was just singing the Smiths out loud, and there was this woman walking by, and I embarrassingly like stopped singing, and she's like, no, what, you're singing the Smiths, keep on singing, boy. It was the most validating experience ever.
Because we're literally walking through the moors in Haworth, England, and it was just keep singing then. It was really cool. And another thing, I don't know why I just thought about this, but when I think of that kind of bridge between late 80s, early 90s, I love the brown trench coats.
Oh, yeah.
Like they're so good. I think of like Echo and the Bunnymen, like the big like poofy hair, and that didn't translate as much into the 90s necessarily, but I'm a big fan of trench coats.
I'm a fan. Yeah.
They're good. They're very good. Like you said, the earth tones are very common. There's so much diversity and a lot of segues. If you can kind of dress and do whatever you wanted to, because people were very heavy into just making your own or making use of what limited items you had.
Yes.
So a lot of people had very ripped tights or like baby tees.
That is one thing I love about 90s fashion is it's whatever you can find in your house. You kind of just layers. Mm. Oh man, I'm a fan of layers. And I love that about it. And Kindercore, I'm going to say Kindercore because I can't use the actual term. But yeah, so with Kindercore, I think baby doll dresses and I think the Victorian neckline and mesh and velvet. Oh my God, velvet. Mm-hmm. So
Fiona Apple.
Yeah. And well, like Kim Gordon. We didn't talk about, but let's talk about Kim Gordon, please.
So I want to...
Did you write her down?
Well, she is like probably one of my biggest, I guess, sources of inspiration ever.
I was scouring the internet. I was looking at pictures of her and I had a thought. I was like, oh my God, that reminds me of Kaylee.
No, it's
genuinely.
Just, yeah. She is from New York, I think. Kim Gordon is the lead singer or one of the singers for Sonic Youth. And she is just NYC cool girl, like smudged eyeliner. She's a bassist, so she's literally me, guys. No, she's so boss. She has very raw and kind of raspy deeper vocals, and I actually did a cover of Sonic Youth song over the summer, My Friend Goo.
Oh yeah,
because I just like
super good, check it out.
No.
Hey Serena on Spotify.
But no Kim Gordon, like she wore those like pea dresses.
Yes.
Or like the it's so weird because Rachel Goswell from Slow Dive would wear like big baggy t-shirts and the cargo shorts and like the sneakers, but then the same era, like still inspired by a lot of the post-punk, which I think is so cool that you can listen to something and get different interpretations of it.
Yeah.
But she listened, Kim Gordon listened, and she would wear like the Victorian neckline dresses, or she'd wear the smaller skirts with the fishnets and the boots.
Yep.
And same with, you guys probably don't know as much, but Kim Deal from The Breeders, who is one of Nirvana's biggest inspirations. Yeah. Most of Kurt Cobain's inspiration was from The Pod by The Breeders. And women bassists, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Just grimy in the best way and in the most taking power, taking ownership. It's so good.
Speaking of women bassists, let's talk about DRC Retsky, if I didn't just butcher her last name, but the bassist for the Smashing Pumpkins from, I think...
She was, early 90s.
In the early 90s, she left the band because, I think, drug abuse. Mm-hmm. She kind of went a little downhill, but when I think, like, grimy... lady bassist, mesh tops, like she comes to mind immediately. Really cool, really cool. I was like looking at her, a lot of her fashion moments last night. Very interesting.
Yeah. Once again,
okay,
the same element.
Hair, bleach, dark lip.
Dark lip.
Very pale.
High contrast.
Are you looking at her little her little devil's ears?
Yep. Yeah. I am.
Or the horns.
Jimmy, who is your favorite female bassist?
I don't know any because I'm a misogynist.
Guys, this is satire. You heard it here first, guys. Should have known because you like the Smiths.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty bleak.
I only know Andy Rourke.
Andy
he also left the band because of drug abuse.
Yo, see, that's...
Heroin.
That is another problem that was, like, kind of plaguing a lot of the grunge or the post-punk scene. A lot of people, like, had a severe problem with drug abuse, and it's...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, so Darcy Retsky from the Smashing Pumpkins liked horseback riding, and she also did gymnastics before she started doing music, which I think is so funny.
She's very funny. But yeah, I don't know, just those, like... It's so pale, all of it. I think about Drew Barrymore, who we've talked about, but like, I don't know, it's just very classic.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
It was very difficult for a lot of people of color to participate in this movement, which I think is kind of a shame because a lot of, especially having come from in England, a very gothic centric sort of idealized fashion for the indie scene, like very pale face.
You're
and
right.
Like, so it is very difficult. I'm not condoning that behavior, however, I just I value the gothic history or anything like that.
No,
but
I dig it.
You mentioned Drew Barrymore and a lot of she was probably one of the biggest actresses in the mid 90s, early 90s, literally still now. What rings true for you cinematically, what movies are what movies come to mind when you think of this era?
Okay, so a couple movies and then a couple shows, actually. So I want to start off strong, or maybe I should end strong. Okay. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which, can we talk about the fashion in that show for a second? Because iconic. It's so good. And I don't know why it didn't come to mind sooner, but Buffy and Willow, I believe. My sister watched this show. She really enjoyed it. I did not watch it. However, I am a fan of the clothes they wear. So this one's a little less personal for me. But Willow, I mean, talk about, she's just such a witch. Like, I love it. You've got your mesh tops, your small skirts, your platform sandals, your low-rise jeans, all of it. Headbands. Oh, I'll get into headbands in a minute, but yes. Okay. And then some classics that kind of come to mind, and I'm sure will come to mind for some people listening, are probably like Clueless or 10 Things I Hate About You, which I do actually, I draw a lot of inspiration from Kat from 10 Things I Hate About You. And I get that one a lot, especially my 3-inch high platform sandals that I wear, along with my pants and my baby tee. But yeah, 10 Things I Hate About You was really great. I like the fashion in that one.
I think Dead Poets Society came out in 1989.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is there anything prevalent in that one, or are they all just kind of wearing blazers?
They do all kind of wear blazers, but I like to take inspiration and like kind of mesh them. Oxford style, but with an also kind of punky style. I don't know how to explain it.
What I like about Dead Poets Society and what I like about the fashion is it's limited. They are wearing uniforms most of the time.
It's
however, you can do a lot with an outfit like that. And Before Sunrise, you know that movie? She, Celine, I believe the main character's name is, she wears like the same outfit the whole time, but she switches it up throughout the film, you know, taking off her plaid shirt, tying around her waist. You can do a lot with a limited outfit like that. So I think about that and how, like,
they're just outfit repeaters.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, rolling up the sleeves can make a huge difference. Taking off your blazer, you know, switching out a pair of shoes. There's a lot you can do. And I think it was still a really great movie and influential in fashion for sure.
Helena Bonham Carter is like a pretty big staple for that too. Like the, she only ever plays characters with stark eyes and a dark lip and very pale, mangy hair. Like,
messy,
there's a lot of the gothic
eyeliner.
Sentiments.
Oh, yeah.
So if you wanted to talk about Fight Club, this is your only opportunity.
This is your moment, Jimmy.
Helena Bonham Carter kind of always plays the same character in a lot of the movies she's in. Like, she's always she's kind of...
She's like Tim Burton-esque.
Tim Burton-esque.
Oh, yeah.
Dark
she's
eyes,
just gothic.
Lip,
she's just the definition of gothic.
Yeah. And
she's great.
It's great.
But
and
she's
not real.
Horrible. It's not. It will be real.
But this is your only opportunity to talk about Fight Club.
Which you can't talk about, guys. You can't talk about it.
What is Fight Club?
I don't know. Never mind. Brad Pitt, guys.
I had like a couple more that maybe we could... talk about. You and I watched Daria the other day.
Oh my god.
Let's talk about Daria because and you know what, my outfit today, I looked in the mirror and I went, oh, I think I kind of subconsciously drew from that. Oh man. And talking about cargo boots and cargo pants, and when we see like Doc Martens kind of come on the scene,
based
it's so good. And chunky sandals. Man, I leg warmers. I'll talk about gloves too. Oh, man.
It's so funny because Daria, I think, just encapsulates that was probably later 90s, early 2000s. Mm-hmm. However, there was so much kind of yearning for the past in the show.
Yeah.
So much. Most of her friends, even the kids that are in class with her, have very trad goth makeup. Like, there's this one girl that always sits in the back, but she looks like Susie Sue from Susie and the Banshees and has the same hair. The attitude is something that's still very common amongst the 90s alternative scene. Kind of nihilistic.
Angsty.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Angst. Daria, just
Daria,
the big boots. Like,
so
that's
good.
When I announced that my EP was coming out, I posted a picture of her and Jane's brother, but I posted a picture of the two of them together, and it's not even my album cover, but I was just like, I just love the show so much. Just
me
the
too.
Constant musical references.
What's your EP called again? I forget. What
Chungus.
Is it?
It's called Chungus. No, it's called 349. It's the day it came out, and it's also my room number.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that until Zach pointed it out and was like, I thought it was the name, like, I was like, yo, it came out March 4th at 9 p.m.
Did it actually?
Yes.
Whoa, that's cool.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Zach Osterwind.
Thanks, Zach Osterwind.
If
Thank
you're
you.
Listening.
He's not
listening.
But yeah, like a lot of those MTV shows mm-hmm. just did a great job of, I guess, canonizing a lot of the grunge TV the grunge style.
I want to segue real quick to one of my personally favorite movies of all time, probably just because of my mom and her watching it a lot, is You've Got Mail. And I know everybody probably doesn't hold the same appreciation for it as me, but I have met a few people who love Kathleen Kelly and just love the dynamic with Tom Hanks. I've been watching that movie multiple times yearly since I was probably around the age of 7, and I think I kind of absorbed her. You know, I am Kathleen Kelly. Even the mannerisms, yeah, which is something I actually noticed last year, and it kind of freaked me out. I was like, oh my gosh, I kind of behave like her. But her fashion, I mean, it talk about those like staples. It's just the plain black turtleneck and the skirt and the tights and the shorter hair, absolutely. This one's kind of random, but have you seen Ever After with Drew Barrymore?
No, I think 90s, I've seen clips.
90s period pieces. And I want to bring it up because the ball gowns in that movie and the hairstyles, and I don't know why that I also associate that with the 90s so heavily, is those more elaborate, bold looks like that. Yeah.
I always think of like...
Or like Phantom of the Opera.
Prom looks,
yeah,
almost.
The like updos. That's,
mm-hmm. The updos. Like the... Surprisingly, a lot of people had red hair.
Yeah.
In the 90s. Like, mm-hmm. bright. Wait a minute. I have
Guys,
red hair.
Wait a minute.
The math is yes right now, but Kaylee actually is a natural redhead.
I am a natural redhead, and then I dyed my hair red, which doesn't make any sense. I don't have natural red hair. I have natural, like, orange hair.
Strawberry blonde.
Kinda, and then I added purple. So now it's just a mess, and it's kind of fun.
You look like Lava Girl.
Guys, I'm just Ruby Gloom, yeah. Okay? I'm just Ruby Gloom.
I wanted to also, like, ask this and also, like, answer this. ask and then answer my own question. No, this is out there for both of you guys. But the personal connection with the clothes you wear and the music you listen to, how does it make you feel wearing your favorite outfit? Or do you have an outfit you associate with a specific song? And how do you feel when you're walking around campus?
It's so silly. I was going to ask you guys that.
That's really. Cool.
Like, because... Habitually, I walk around, and it may seem like I'm cast out the world around me because I constantly walk around with headphones on. Just a couple days ago, I'm wearing headphones, and I'm listening to Gang of Four, which is like a late 70s, early 80s, like very, very influential punk band. And I just, walking around with your big boots on, there's just something so life-giving about the music and your clothes. I feel so... For the first time in a long time, very confident. I really like this. I care about my clothes. I had a shirt that I got from Hot Topic because they had Ruby Gloom, which is a kids show from Canada. That it's just a girl with red hair and she has like ghost friends.
The one that looks like you.
So
yeah,
cute.
And it's one of my favorite shows ever. And Hot Topic was selling like little baby ringer tees, and I thought I lost it. Like the day after I got it, and it was inside my pant leg because I bought it at home and
oh,
I bought
yeah.
it.
You were
so I was
you
actually
were freaking out.
I mm-hmm. was actually panicking because I care so much about like my t-shirts.
Yep.
I have like this LA punk band shirt. I'm not gonna say the name, but I've got a punk band on my shirt, and I care about this shirt so much. Walking around, baggy jeans, having my hair kind of have a little bit more volume, and like doing my eyeliner, which are all very reminiscent of late 80s, early 90s. It's confident building, and I'm sure you have felt that way with that sort of experimenting or like growing that you've done with your fashion.
Yeah,
too.
I didn't really build my wardrobe or my style till I met Kaylee and she indoctrinated me.
No, that's not true.
But yeah, I've known her for so long. I've actually got a lot of influence from Kaylee and with music and with style. But yeah, it's so weird because there's different feelings that are completely different that you get with different artists.
Yes,
absolutely.
There's like the confidence, but then there's also like the reflective.
Yeah,
literally on the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, keep going.
Like when I'm just walking around campus, I'm, it, like it also depends on like the weather, what yes, the weather is like, what I'm gonna listen
right
to.
Now.
It's overcast.
We all had a little bit of a come together moment where we're like, guys, it's cloudy.
We get to talk about 90s music.
We're talking about 90s music.
It's perfect.
And then when it's at night,
Jimmy's
it's like
in a
somber.
Big old sweater.
I'm in a sweater.
I'm in my turtleneck. It's good.
And she's in the bleep shirt.
True. I am in my bleep shirt. But it's, and you had your little like Porta Pros or your new Marshalls.
I just got new Marshalls and it's every little detail adds. Like adds to the effect of what you're feeling.
Oh, it's all important.
Yeah,
for sure, it's all important.
It's so important to feel, I guess, connected to what you wear because it says so much about who you are.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, like I feel like especially at Biola, there's a lot of people if they dress a certain way, you associate artist or music or their hobbies
film.
With them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like you associate those things with them because it's such a it's a tangible way to see into someone's brain or like I don't know how else to say
like
that.
If I looked at both of you I wouldn't assume you guys listen to Surfaces or
they look like Dayglo fans. No
Dayglo fans.
I'm not well.
sorry guys, Biola, we like Dayglo
and Surfaces. Please don't kill us.
Can I call you tonight?
I
don't work for these people.
It's so cool and so I appreciate a lot of reminiscing in fashion or like being very reminiscent because fashion works in waves. It circulates about every 20 years. Mm-hmm. Like I know right now people want to be like Y2K and wear a lot of clothes like that.
Yeah, what
that
is it right now? Isn't
it
Y2K? I feel like
it's
everything.
It's kind of like moving everything. More towards the 70s right now.
Yes, David Bowie.
That's,
can we talk about Bowie? Okay. Yes. Well,
I don't know much about
the connection between fashion and music is so
strong.
Exactly. And so I mentioned this to you earlier, but I wanted to bring up David Bowie as like a little reference point for why music and fashion are so entwined. And I feel like he's just the perfect example. I mean, what comes to mind when you think of David Bowie? I mean, there's so many iconic
androgyny,
so many iconic suits, and he's just one of my favorites. So I really got a lot of not so much inspiration for my outfits from David Bowie, but just like inspiration
how
to
he expresses
have fun
it.
With
yeah.
my outfits
because it says something about him.
Myself.
It's like an image of who he is, the way he dresses.
And
sounds like
Plato. I love Plato.
Yeah, I agree. It's so good.
And you've watched me. Like, I didn't start exploring my fashion sense until I think about my junior year of high school. Mm. Even then, you know, I had limited resources. And sometimes it can be really hard to work with what you've got.
Yours changed really quickly.
Yeah.
I remember from, like, last semester to now, it's completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had a lot of self-discovery. And I know Kaylee can, I mean, both of you, I guess, can attest to this, but I don't know. You watched my fashion change, and I'd hope it was more obvious to people that I feel so much more secure in myself and confident in what I wear, and that ties back into the, you know, I am very intentional about the clothes I put on, and I'm intentional with the music I listen to, and I almost want my outfit to sing
be
as
a
I'm
conversation piece
be
almost.
A conversation
like
piece
I want someone to see my shirt, maybe not this one because if they this one is a punk band from Hermosa Beach, I love them, but I want people to like see the shirts I wear and like ask me about it.
My favorite compliment I got actually from a friend of mine was, Gracie, you just look like you stepped out of a 90s rom-com.
Awesome.
I actually didn't know how to take it. I was like, oh my gosh, wait, did I accomplish this? Oh my goodness.
And then people keep saying you look like Julian Casablancas.
True. My favorite.
Can I just say I love you two in particular, like walking around campus, I will see Jimmy a lot with his headphones on, and I'm like, I know what he's feeling, or like he's in the mood for the Smiths, and he's just got his little tote bag. I know Kaylee's probably listening to Slow Dive, based off of Fitz. Yeah.
True.
It's just so fun to get to see your friends, like,
having
those kind of moments around you, where you know, you're like, oh, they get it, they understand.
Yeah. Yep, I agree.
Oh, and one of those bands for me is the Cranberries, who we haven't talked about yet, but oh gosh, am I a Cranberries fan? I don't know. We're listening to Linger before we started this, and I don't know. That's
perfect.
If I had to choose a song that probably stuck with me the most in like high school and fashion and just feeling confident was probably Dreams Number one, because of it's in You've Got Mail. But also, it just, what a good song. And that one makes me feel really awesome in general.
I agree. Well, that will wrap it up for today because we hit the 40-minute mark. The 40-minute mark.
Was it really?
Yeah. Thank you guys for tuning in. I always appreciate my friends' input on things. If you'd like to follow me on Spotify, you can do that at KAYLEIFORNIA. It's a lot of letters. But then if you would like to be on the show or just talk with me about stuff, you can DM me on Instagram, I guess, at KAYLEIGH_SHULTS.
Where can they stream your music?
Everywhere, guys. Don't stream my music, though.
Okay, Serena, on Spotify.
It's mid.
It's not mid.
Anyway,
it's very good.
I
deserves more recognition.
God. Okay. Well, I'll say thank you, guys. Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks, Gracie, for talking with me about stuff.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
All right. Ciao.
Adios.